One beer in, you're feeling cozy. Two beers in, you're getting nosy. Three beers in, you're getting your posy. One more word, wheezy.
Way, hey, the vomit rises. We're breakfast in the morning.
One beer in, and you're feeling peachy. Two beers in, and you're getting preachy. Three beers in, and you're drunk and meachy. One more, and we're tipsy.
Way, hey, the vomit rises.
Regret this in the morning.
Hello, and welcome to Four Beers In. I am Brendan.
I'm Jess.
I'm Matt.
Tammy.
Hey, we went kind of counterclockwise. No, that was clockwise.
That was totally.
You don't know that because I stopped doing video. But I should bring that back at some point. Today's topic.
Just warm me so I can put some makeup on.
Well, with those cameras, you really couldn't tell. You could try really hard, but you know that they're you know it was like panorama kind of stuff. Anyway, top five books. This is for the nerds in us, and honestly, we are all secret nerds in our own little ways.
Oh, I'm not secret about it at all.
No, there's a reason we drink to know it all, Jess. So
I mean, I listen to Dungeons and Dragons podcasts, yeah, so I'm nerds on whole.
We are probably four beers in at this point, so this is probably a good time to get it started. And this was chosen by Tammy. So, Tammy,
Take the wheel.
Yeah, a little bit. It's up to you if you want to.
I wish I knew the Carrie Underwood song better so I could sing it.
if you want to start with your fifth or first or third or whatever.
I'm going to go by first because it was triggered by Matt's friend who wrote the book Reset. And I've been reading that, not finished, doing well. But it reminded me of, like, I used to read all the time. So I go back to Judy Blume when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
So that would be my childhood book.
Did she do Ramona?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
And
Are You There, Jesus, Me, Margaret?
Yeah.
I didn't have to read Are You There, Jesus, Me, Margaret?
Flubber. I mean, she had a ton of books.
Well, that's because you didn't have a period.
No. Not yet. I'm waiting.
No, but a lot of them were really funny. She had a lot of humor in her books.
I mean, there's Man's Days, which is like period without blood, though.
You know
what?
We just
call that being an asshole.
Guys have periods too. Yeah. You just don't.
Okay.
That's where she's bad.
She says,
We're back.
She's like, I don't want to talk about books.
Cade's little sister just pulled the plug on us.
She's staring at Matt like, why are you plugging it in?
Oh, shit.
We got face off.
What a little shit. Okay. Anyway,
anywho,
back to Judy Blume and
Judy Blume.
Did she write a book called You Little Shit?
Practically. Which book would that be on?
Beezus.
That's what I thought.
But was it Beezus, Ramona's little sister?
Yes.
Well, Fudge, that was one. Well, anyway, she has a ton of books. And there was my favorite as a child. And I would go for hours and just read and read and read. So that would be my favorite. But obviously that's a lot.
There's paper towels way over there.
Oh, paper towels.
My arms don't go that far.
Oh. You making messes
now? Oh, that's a gadget. You need gadget arms.
Go, gadget arms.
Was that a book? No. Or was it just straight?
No, Gadget. Okay. Gadget?
Well, you know,
Inspector
I don't know.
Inspector Gadget, I believe, is just a cartoon.
Just a cartoon. Okay. Anyway, so you're telling me that
not
Judy...
Well, that was my favorite as a kid.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, right. Totally, because that got me into enjoying
the wrong
books.
Person got credit, and I hated that.
For what?
Oh, and Inspector Gadget.
But everyone who watched it knew.
But the premise of the show was the whole time. Penny and the Brain did all the work, and Inspector Gadget got all the glory.
All the credit, yeah.
And when you grow up
and it's usually because he tripped on something. And
when you grow up into that reality, it's just a bitter pill to swallow.
But it's not a book, so let's get back to
it. Yeah, exactly. So is that an author situation, or are you saying there's a specific book that was your favorite?
Well, Judy Blume was the author, but she had, like, I would say Fudge if you like humor, and it's not particularly set on a male or female, because Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret might be more on the girl side, just because it's about periods and turning into...
Spoiler alert.
A little bit on the period.
Honestly,
shit.
Though, if
but
you hadn't
guys
read
have
that.
Periods, too, yeah. But, like, Fudge, Super Fudge, like, she was just... funny about childhood, adolescence, and just turning into, like, just it's just so funny.
When was the last time you read one?
Oh my god,
you took the work, like, I was gonna ask. Yeah,
I went
out of high school,
up.
So maybe 12 years ago.
Okay. But she holds up, you think?
Yeah, she is still good. I actually buy those books for any nieces and nephews that still in family. Like, mm-hmm. I have nieces that are in, like, second, third grade. I will buy them for them because it's one of those that's fun and it gets you into reading.
Is that when your period happens?
No.
Or
I read
just,
it before
is that
the
when
period.
Judy Blum happens?
The pages are super absorptive.
Two for one, man.
I'm like, geez, they're all on the periods.
I mean, not many authors out there do really kind of tackle that bit as far as puberty.
And they
goes.
Should.
Right.
Although,
and for men, too, because boys have adolescence, too. And I swear, your mood swings are just... We all have hormones. Women just
hand.
Bleed, and guys don't.
She's
saying,
that's a generalized
hey.
View.
No, she's talking about me.
I was trying to like save a little face.
No,
for
no
the...
sometimes I even give her shit. I'm like, are you about to? Because I'm feeling a little extra emotional right now. And
have you synced up, Brendan?
I think so. You know, after 15 years, it's happened. I may not. Well, I bleed, but that's more of a hemorrhoid. But, you know,
I thought you were referring to the scratches from the puppy
on
your face.
On right. Judy does not talk about hemorrhoids.
She might nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if we're going by series from our childhood, I read the crap out of the Hank the Cowdog series.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, me
it
either.
Was phenomenal. It was about a cowdog who was not the brightest and him trying to guard his farm from coyotes who were way smarter than him and trying to confess his love for Beulah, the collie, and just a lot of really fun books that I read through.
Are
those
they,
in the
so
Babysitter
Club
books.
Bestiality was your thing?
No, they were all animals. Goodness. There was no ality, and it was just dogs.
Is this like a 10-page picture book kind of
No,
thing,
it's or? A whole series. It was like a 20-some-odd book, chapter book series from when I was in elementary school, so early 90s.
Yeah,
it was. That's fine.
Early, I was reading Stephen
I loved
King
it.
Back then.
Yeah, that, I was. Well, I did read.
I was
a
getting scared
Stephen
by Hocus
Kings,
Pocus back then.
Yeah, I never saw it.
It was more Tom
it's
Clancy
a lot better now.
For me at that point. Like, I mean, scary shit or like creepy horror stuff wasn't like Christine actually was the last Stephen King book that I read.
Mm-hmm. I've never read his book.
Had
Only
I known that
I
like Shawshank was a book, I would have read that.
You still can.
I still can.
A book.
Yes.
Your eyes are still open.
Right,
you are
right,
still breathing.
Yes.
So
I don't have the same like drive to read that now as I would have then. But
do movies
well,
ruin the book
too.
Because if you watch the movie, so typically books are better.
I would think. I would say it completely depends on the director and the book. So like Lord of the Rings it's one of my top five.
So what do you think Peter King did?
Peter Jackson did amazing.
Or Peter Jackson, my bad.
He left out some of the stuff. There's so much detail in those books, though, that even the 3-hour extended edition wasn't enough to cover everything in the actual text.
But those books were like...
Those books were like you could.
Do they change things though? That's
no.
the one thing I don't.
No,
okay.
The stuff that he left out is not stuff that changes what you see in the movie. So you still get the same story.
Talking trees and all sorts of
Well,
the ants. They're not trees. They're ants. There's
the
a difference.
And they changed the movie from the books.
Right. So like, one that really pisses me off. So I grew up. You know, you were talking about reading Tom Clancy. I read a lot of John Grisham.
Oh,
from
that's
elementary
another
school
one.
To middle school. Probably shouldn't have, but I read them anyway. Mm-hmm.
The
but
Client.
The Client.
Yeah.
That book,
Pelican
the book
Grief,
was great.
More like Turkey Too Long.
Yeah, exactly.
So The Client was a really good book. The movie pissed me off because there were very drastic differences between the movie and the book.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was kind of almost the beginning of the end when it came to some of the crossovers from books to movies.
Yep,
and it just it didn't cross over right.
No,
We could even jump it ahead, and I don't know if this is in anyone's here top five, but the Game of Thrones books.
Not a
never read them.
Top,
see, that's
I haven't.
What I mean. I've only.
I'm
watched.
Still halfway through book five. I haven't finished.
So
it. I haven't
I made
watched
it through
at all.
Four, and we watched all of the Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But at that point, what I was reading and what I was watching were two different things.
Yeah.
And so it got to a point where they were making the shows faster than he was writing the books.
Right, because he
still
hasn't
no
come out
longer,
with book six.
Yeah, I stopped reading the books.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point?
Right.
I got the TV shows. So that was kind of I think when it comes to the comparison of books to TV, we just
does that take
somehow,
away from reading? Because there's so many.
I just said that. Yeah, I mean, for me, it was like, why
people just wait for the movies instead of reading?
Yeah. Well, I think again, I think that's situational. Like in his example with Game of Thrones, one of the things about it is that George R. R. Martin sat down with the show writers and said, "Look, I don't know if I'm going to be alive to finish the series because he's not in the greatest health." He said, "This is where I see it going."
Dude's the size of a Volkswagen Bug.
Right, right. He said, "This is where I see it going, so take it there as you may." So
and they fucked it up.
It is very possible that when he comes out with 6 and 7, which he's saying the series ends in book 7, that what we see in 6 and 7 is completely different than what was happening in the TV show. I've never watched the TV show myself because I struggle with a lot of gore and violence and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So
you
I
don't like Quentin Tarantino movies?
Oh, I hate Tarantino.
Damn you.
Tarantino's movies make me physically sick.
Oh. Well, so, there's a lot of splatter.
Right. Yeah. I still cannot listen to Stuck in the Middle with You.
Stuck in the Middle with You.
Yep. But so I've read Game of Thrones, but I've never actually watched the show, especially when you come to stuff like The Red Wedding. Like reading through The Red Wedding was
honestly
hard enough. I can't imagine what that
would
be. Yeah.
And it wasn't like The Red Wedding in TV, like in HBO doesn't hold back.
I didn't
right,
know it was
of course.
Coming,
honestly,
I didn't read the
if you're going to do that, get Tarantino to do that
right.
one scene because they didn't do it like.
Well,
justice,
and
but
my timelines were going nuts, and so I asked a friend. I said I've read. So what's going on? And all they said was Red Wedding, and I was like, oh, that's all I needed to know. Thank you.
I mean, in the show, they pretty much just locked the doors, and you knew it happened.
Which that's
but
it, that's the
well,
book.
I knew
they
something could've. Bad was going to happen. I did not read it. I just saw doors locked. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah. Well, and in the book, the way it's written is you kind of have this inkling that something isn't.
Right.
All the way okay. Like, you're not quite sure what it is, but something just doesn't feel right about the setup. So.
Well, and you get that in the movie, too, or the TV show, too. But there are, I guess, I look at it as in, like Tam said, Tarantino-wise, like, they could have done even more as far as the blood and gore. But not everybody, well, yeah,
they
could have.
Pretty good.
I mean, but, yeah. Anyway, we derail because we're still on. Like, we went from Judy Blume to Blood and Gore.
Right.
I'm like,
but one thing I was impressed with George R. R. Martin is the way his women are depicted. Because when you get into sci-fi novels and fantasy novels, women more often than not tend to be
on the lower tier.
Right. They are sex objects. They are not necessarily the most intelligent. They aren't.
Unless Kill Bill. She's a tough bitch.
Right. But that's. But we're talking about sci-fi fantasy writing, and I don't think that really. But when you look at his women, every last one of them has something in them that is strong, even if it's a strong kind of crazy, like Cersei and Daenerys.
Oh yeah,
you know they.
Well, Daenerys was a different Cersei. You wanted to hate.
Oh, you hate her throughout.
I mean, you almost hate her as much as Joffrey.
I almost hate her more than Joffrey because there's a reason Joffrey is the way he is.
Yeah,
and
it's
she
her.
And she didn't help that any. Yeah exactly. Yeah. But his women all have this strength to them. You know, sex isn't the way he describes it is that it's usually when it's in this instance of like rape or incest, it's not descriptive or written out. But when it's in the concept of a conceptual
a power struggle or something
but like,
or that,
like
yeah.
a consensual couple, it's a little more delved into. And so it was just kind of a very interesting. It made me kind of want to go, well, what's his relationship with the women in his life that he is willing to write women in this manner? You know, like
his
I feel
mom's
like
a badass.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. But again, we
totally digress. But that's what we do.
But it's books. This is kind of what happens when literature comes up. So
well, and books and TV are almost like they run parallel.
They really do.
Ways,
yeah.
So what about you guys? So she starts with Judy Blume.
That's years. Like,
but,
I just and I
but
think
would
it's
you really
aged
put
well.
Like I mean, and you mentioned her as a like an author, but are you saying Fudge or do you have a specific number one book?
Yeah.
Well, Fudge. Well, oh shit.
That was the whole point. You chose top
five
books.
Well, I'm just saying favorite books, and that would be my
or favorite books. I guess I went top five because we went from top five TV shows to
I think
books
for her, it made me enjoy. Like, I literally would read hours and hours and hours. And now that we're an adult, you find times that you can or can't. So you don't have those.
Right.
Like, I don't read like I can as a kid. But she made me enjoy reading because she has humor and I could relate to her and I love her. And then we talk about, I actually weirdly like the gore and reading in books. Although Stephen King, four beers in.
My brother five, Stephen King.
I do enjoy his shit too, but I like Quentin. Yeah. I do like stuff like
that. I think part of it for me is that in, so, you know, you and I talked about this at Frolic before we came here, was that
Frolic!
One of the things I like about reading fiction is if I can walk through it in my mind's eye as I'm reading through the text.
It's like a movie in your head.
Right, so it plays through as a movie. Yep.
You have a problem with gore, but you read the book.
So, but here's the thing, is that when it is playing through...
You actually don't see the brain spatter.
Right, so that's the thing. Happened. It's
you cut someone open, they bleed M&M.
Well, but it's more like it just... Like, my brain acknowledges that it happens.
Skittle!
But it doesn't play out like when I'm watching it on a show and I'm forced to take it in, it, my brain acknowledges it, but we, but it kind of makes it, it makes it more like Schindler's List gore, where it's black and white versus the actual depth of it, so I can still follow along, feel what's going. It is, but it doesn't feel the same way, and it's not
well,
as
well. It's
forced,
different than you actually
right
see,
in my brain,
like the actual
right in front
blood
of me.
Splattering on faces right. and walls. Like you might be like, okay, he died, and like blood spatters, but you
don't
see
don't
the
know.
Actual
read,
right. Like,
well, and if
that's
it gets
what I see.
Well, and if it gets to be too much, it's really easy to just kind of skip over and be like, okay, so now we're going through all the okay. Well, this
so
splatter
you fast
there, and that's
forward.
Splatter. Right, and when you're watching TV or watching a movie, you don't get that option.
Sometimes you do.
So, I also
sometimes,
think books,
sure.
The blood just comes out faster.
And I don't know if this is a guy or girl thing, but I think books project wrong of romance, too, because I went from Judy Blume to like
Daniel Steele.
I did like Daniel Steele. I did read her. And you think of like romance, and girls have more of that fantasy where guys are more sexual. So like girls are in their head of like romance and flowers spread, and guys are like, you want to do it? You know, like there's a difference of like a little bit of romance of girls and guys. And it's like, I don't know.
But
and
is that necessarily every individual? Right, I mean, I feel like that's
true.
A whole other podcast, but.
Yeah, that's true.
But I feel like, I mean, that's kind of what we've been taught, though, growing up, is that girls like the story. They like to be romanced, and guys are like, whatever, just do it. Which
I think
may or may not hold up.
Kind just of romance? No, I think there's a difference of kind of romance, but I think girls expect. Or have a different kind of fantasy than guys do.
Yeah. So finger. Are there Harlequin novels on your top five?
Kind of, because that would be my second, because it went to Judy Blume of learning your sexuality and humor, and then it came down to like Harlequin.
Using your sexuality.
Hey, and like, and then I was like, the breath hit the neck, and like, did you know, and like, and I go like, oh wow, I'm going to take a bath and read this one. This one's getting a little hot.
Okay, but have you read the ones where they're like, terribly written.
Probably.
<'cause> I laugh so hard every time I read those.
Wow. I mean, like my top book or books were like, so it was the Arthurian saga. So it's actually a few books. And Mary Stuart wrote them, and they're about King Arthur. And the way
Queen of Scots?
No, it's just King Arthur and the whole saga.
Right.
It's called the Arthurian saga. So the first book, which is The Crystal Cave, it kind of is when Arthur, it's more of from the perspective of Merlin.
Okay.
So it's writing from the perspective of Merlin. So Merlin is a kid, doesn't even know magic fully at this point. And the way she depicts this entire saga of King Arthur and Merlin and their entire bond together is the most realistic I have ever read, to the point where I almost feel like it could be real.
Huh.
And she wrote a four book series of King Arthur in these, you know, it was the Crystal Cave. Oh, fuck. I don't know. I'd have to look it all up now. But that to me was, I could still to this day go back and read those. I even tried to have Tammy try it. I don't think she's made it two pages in. But it really, for me, that's kind of my style. That's what I enjoyed. And I would definitely put that down with as my number one. Series books altogether. I'll throw it another one in there that's completely on the other side of things. I have one of the original copies of Swiss Family Robinson.
Ooh.
And that one is, it's number two for me. It's so old now that I'm afraid to kind of read it again and thumb through it. But I hold that as a treasure because when I was a kid, I embraced the idea of being stranded on an island. And
so did your parents.
A little bit.
We live in Colorado.
Yeah, a little bit.
Not a lot of islands around here.
And so I don't know. There's just the idea of learning to survive out of chaos and building a treehouse and learning to just stay alive in general and turning it into a good
Wilson!
Life. Right? There was no Wilson, but it I don't know. I related to one of the kids in the book and really kind of that was, I think, the first turn for me to get into serious novels. Like I read some Judy Blume. I read some Goosebumps. Like there were things that I read that I as a kid, but it was that Swiss Family Robinson that really kind of turned the corner for me as far as book reading. And then it kind of turned into some of the John Grishams and the Tom Clancy's or the Louis L'Amour, like things that my parents read. And some of it was, I mean, I was preteen at some of these situations, so some of the shit just went right over my head.
Right.
And if I go back and read them now, I might understand a little bit more, but then again, I read them and it doesn't really stick with me. One of the other books I gave to Matt was Lamb. That one sticks to me.
For some reason, I couldn't get into Lamb.
Who is Lamb by?
Michael Moore.
It picks on religion a little bit. It's so a little, yeah. It could be touchy,
what you're reading. Fuck with you a little bit more than it. Basically, what it is it's from the point of view of Jesus' friend during his childhood that nobody ever talks about.
Oh, is that the book where he smashes the head with the lizard and sticks it in his mouth and pulls it back out?
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Every time they describe that, I laugh hysterically.
So
I can see that.
It's freaking satire.
I can see you commune and then coming into your religious background, you could kind of take and see
you might be able to actually get more perspective than I mean, I don't know about Matt, but at least the two of us. Like,
it was a book club, and I just, for some reason, couldn't get into that
one. Well, it was
one.
Honestly, I feel like it's what killed the book club, although I think the book before it did, because it was a Civil War novel, and everyone was just like, this was kind of dark, and then I tried to lift it up with a comedy book, and no one wanted to read it, because the last one just kind of killed the drive. But I don't know. Matt will finish it at some point, and I'd like to see what you think. But
what is Matt like?
Right,
that's true.
Judy,
you've been kind of quiet in this.
I really want to talk about the John Grishams that I like, but Matt hasn't said a word.
I don't know anything about anything you guys are talking about.
Like, I don't know Judy. I don't know.
Hank the cow dog. What's that?
I read Ramona as a kid.
Ramona, exactly.
Beverly Cleary wasn't.
Yes.
Yep. That was a good one.
I read the Beverly Cleary books. Yeah.
But no, I mean, I didn't read or watch Game of Thrones, so I'm always lost on all those pop culture references.
Game of Thrones is hard to get into if you're not up for a really lengthy
HBO
one.
Password? I've got HBO.
Okay.
I just have a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
He's got to catch up on Ted Lasso first.
I've never been a big sci-fi fantasy person.
Yeah. What's your style?
Well, I guess one of my favorite things would be the Trainspotting universe.
Oh.
Irvin Welsh is the author of Trainspotting.
You've talked about Irvin Welsh from time to time. Yes.
So he's written a whole series, a whole bunch of books that involve a lot of the same characters, some that don't, some stray, and some come back to that universe. And I really enjoy those and that world. And it's part of the reason why I went to Edinburgh 2 years ago. So I just feel it's so vivid. I feel like I know the people. I know the characters so well, not just from the movies. And I just watched Trainspotting 2 recently.
That's the heroin addict story or whatever? Okay.
But as far as what's better, the book or the movie, in this particular case, they're both because they're different, but it's a phenomenal movie and a phenomenal book, and they're not even comparable really to each other.
Right.
The movie is a great thing to do if you want to dip your toe in, but if you want into the universe, read the book.
Okay.
Because it's a lot more in depth. But makes even sense. Trainspotting 2, it veers from the book completely.
They do that.
The plot isn't even the same.
Oh, wow. Really.
Wow.
Interesting.
So all they share is the title.
The
not even that.
It was not titled that.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So it was more just a sequel on like production part, Paramount or whoever that
was. It was kind of like, okay, the sequel to Trainspotting was called Porno. And it did catch up with the characters 10 years later. And the story that Danny Boyle, I guess, wanted to tell in the movie was of them 10 years from now, but it wasn't that story. And it was just a different story.
Huh.
And it was also amazing. Hmm. And I love that movie. I love it as much as I love Trainspotting.
Oh, wow. All right.
So, yeah. But
that's awesome because the book and the movie are so different and you like both.
Yes.
Because sometimes when that happens, you get mad one or the other.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you see the movie before a book, I think some people get mad at the book because the more you read the book and like the movie didn't fucking do it and movie didn't do whatever.
Yeah.
But if you see the movie first, I don't know. It's so interesting that way.
Yeah, and kind of opposite of that is when the movie just blows the book away, which is Fight Club.
Yeah.
The book for Fight Club was forgettable completely. I hated it. I read it. I forgot everything about it. But the movie is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Was damn good.
Even Chuck Palahniuk has admitted that the movie at least had a better ending than his book did.
Interesting.
So. Oh, that's nice. You don't see that often.
Right. No. Usually the book is better.
He's a pretty humble guy, it seems.
So now are we on full on like books, hardbacks, paperbacks, or can we go to even to some comic situations?
Why does it matter, hardback or paperback? They're the same.
Well,
words.
No, like the reason I'm going with that is like you could dip into the X-Men or DC universe, but really what I'm in the back of my head is we're talking about things. One of the things that I can compare to as far as reading as a child versus watching was Star Wars. There were comics that I read as Star Wars, and there are things that I knew about in Star Wars that I never saw in the Star Wars universe that I'm now starting to see. And what Dave Filoni has done is just top notch, and it's really kind of exciting to see where some of these shows and side projects can go from the original quote unquote, now they're calling it the Skywalker saga. So what we know of Star Wars episode 1 through 9 was the Skywalker saga.
Right.
But there's so much more that happened in different timelines through all of that I read in comics that sucked me in that I never thought I'd ever see in TV. And now I'm seeing some of it's in animation, which is hard for me to grasp as an adult, but I still try. But the live action stuff, like coming out with The Mandalorian and soon the Book of Boba Fett and the Ahsoka Tano, like, or there are things that are like I read that I'm like, oh fuck, I'm excited to see in live action because I never thought it would happen ever. And I mean,
I want to say there's something like over 100 actual Star Wars novels that were in existence prior to Disney purchasing.
George Lucas wrote the shit out of some stuff.
Not all of this was George Lucas, though. Some of this stuff like is beyond him.
I mean, I'm just really happy to see it coming to life.
Yeah.
Because some of those novels and books are impossible to get a hold of.
Yeah. Well, and especially because when Disney took it over, one of the things they did was basically go back and say, okay, all of the old novels that were there are no longer canon. And which, you know, ticked off a lot of Star Wars fans.
Fuck yeah,
obviously,
it did.
Because especially, could you imagine being a writer on one of the 100+ novels in the Star Wars universe, only to be told your work doesn't count anymore?
So I painted faces with one of the guys who used to be one of the artists.
Right. Oh yeah, you were saying that. Yeah.
And he was one of the original artists in the comic books, and he taught me how to do stuff. And he would actually give me some of his original work so I could go and take it and scan it and digitally color it. And he wanted to see how I could do it because this was in the time where that idea and concept was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So it was really great to have some of these, and that's what really kind of drew me into some of the comics and the mini novels. I don't know what the hell the word is. They were like cliff notes.
Novellas?
Maybe.
Kind of.
Things that I didn't even know existed in the Star Wars universe. And I was coloring storylines that I had never seen before with R2 and Anakin. And it was just like, what the fuck?
That's
and it was awesome. Oh, it was epic and awesome. And I still have yet to see some of that stuff today. But I saw it I still have files. It's like, this is going to happen.
Did you get the one about why?
Uh-oh.
It'll only do it twice.
Okay. We got a reminder, you know, to drink.
There you go. Did they give you the one where?
That's the last time.
Here's your reminder.
To drink.
Cello. It's 4:00.
Yeah, to drink. Okay.
Did they give you the one about how C-3PO got his red arm?
No, I don't think so.
Because there's... there's I don't know this whole story, but there's a story behind. So in 7 through 9, one of C-3PO's arms, instead of being gold, is red. And there was a battle.
Discombobulated a lot of times.
But there was a battle he was in that happened between 6 and 7.
He was torn apart by flying monkeys. Actually, I remember that.
So there you go.
Stuff him back together.
So now he has a red arm.
All right.
Took it from the Tin Man.
So, comic books. I haven't really read a lot of comic books per se, but one of my favorite ever books is a graphic novel series called Mouse 1 and 2.
And they are
just Mouse.
I haven't read any comic books.
It is, and this can probably harken back to some of our previous conversations on the pod, where it's the author of the books is Art Spiegel, who now does art for Marvel. His dad was a Holocaust survivor, and so he drew out his dad's experience in concentration camps and throughout Germany and all that kind of stuff, intermixed with how his dad...
But this time, son, I wanted to get a lot more tail.
Right?
But and interspersed with how his dad behaves in real life, and it's all written out in a graphic novel.
Very much tail at all.
But it's all written out in a graphic novel, and it's just it's beautifully done. It's the only two books I've kept
from
any
get
college.
Tailed, get it in a graphic novel.
Oh my word! These are the only books I've kept out of my college literature classes. Are Mouse 1 and 2. Every other book has gotten sold back or traded in or whatever, but these two I've read them probably about 5 times each, and they're just really well done. They handle it really well, and it's just really intriguing. Like, there are moments in it that, especially considering the past administration, that are incredibly sobering to read now.
Damn Obama.
too far past, but y'all already know.
One of the books I've read the most is Tropical Capricorn, because it's really awesome to just rage in Henry Miller's voice. So that's fun. Call everyone idiot.
All right.
I'm lost. I did nothing.
I'll have to add that one to my list. I have not read.
You might not like it.
I feel like I just melt my chair. I have no idea what he's talking about.
But, well, back on the movie and books thing for a little bit is World War Z. The book is written by Max Brooks, as in Mel Brooks' son. The book is brilliant, where the zombies are actually more of a side character, and it's more of a commentary on the societal impact of the zombie war. And it goes from, like, it's 3 stages. It's before the war, during, and after. And it's phenomenal. Like, I hate, you know, we've already established I hate gore and stuff like that. I hate zombie movies.
I think I'm bleeding.
For the gore. But this novel, I actually really loved, and I probably burned through it in about 2 days, I want to say. But the movie, I hate The Client because of how different it was, but The Client was closer to the novel than the World War Z movie was closer to its novel.
What about, like, The Fugitive and
so
stuff?
So bad. I haven't seen The Fugitive. I think my favorite John Grisham, though, is A Time to Kill.
That's not bad.
Which that one is.
Yeah. I read The Fugitive.
It's so good, but it's tough.
Client.
Yeah.
Well, I felt like The Fugitive was kind of like overcast as far as like stars.
Yeah.
Because you had Harrison Ford and stuff like that. And I felt like from the get go, it took away from the book. Like, the soon as you started watching the movie, you forgot all about the book.
So, did Julia Roberts take away from Pelican Brief or Denzel? Or
if anything, I would say Denzel.
Yeah,
because I mean, he did have a really good presence in that movie. It was a good movie. In fact, it was one of the first ones that wasn't a comedy or a drama like a teen drama,
right?
That
he's
I
been
bought
in dramas.
No, that I bought. Like, I mean, you look at some of the movies that are in my collection. Like, I've got stuff like Johnny B. Good to date movie to like. There's more humor in a lot of the movies that I bought. But then there's the Pelican Brief, and you're like.
Yeah, there's not much humor.
That's a little off.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Yeah.
I did like it. And I do feel like that was, to me, it was pretty close to the book. Or at least good enough that I remember.
Yeah. Well, and it was closer to the book than The Client was. Like, I think we can just say right now The Client was...
two totally different...
Yeah. If you're going to read the book, don't watch the movie. If you're going to watch the movie, don't read the book.
Or don't compare them.
Exactly.
Right.
because they're not comparable.
Treat them like they're two different stories.
And in fact, like, you, I mean, Tom Cruise in general to me is ruined some movies, but weirdly, Edge of Tomorrow or Day of Tomorrow, like another, I don't know, fuck. There was another, it was one that he was in where basically when he dies, everything resets. It was almost kind of like Reset, but that movie to me was fucking funny, and I still watch it over and over and over.
We definitely take it as more as humor.
Yeah.
Well, because
like,
when he
well,
dies,
like
we
when he
laugh.
Dies, you can hear it because like he's trying to like he figured out that like, all right, every time I die, I start off at this point, so I got to keep figuring out how to go farther.
And he would get further and further.
And he, each day he'd get further, but every time he'd die, sometimes
but some
you
of
would just
way
hear
he
the
died,
like,
you're like, oh.
It became funny to
so
how many
it's
times
like
he
the
died.
Best was
Groundhog's Day, but action movie.
Yeah, Groundhog's oh Day in wartime, in futuristic wartime. I think it's like Day After Tomorrow or something
oh,
like
that. Makes
that.
Sense. I would say
I was just going to look it
yeah,
up. But yeah, I think you're right.
I,
like, it's
I
so
don't know
funny.
If there's a book that it came from or not.
Yeah.
We're just kind of going on that train. But that movie to me, because I don't know, I think Tom Cruise has done some of his books and movies. And, yeah. and honestly, I'd rather go watch that movie or even Mission Impossible than I would go back and watch some of the other renditions. Yeah. So I don't know. But yeah.
He was brilliant in War of the Worlds. Which, I mean, when you think of War of the Worlds and H.G. Wells and all of that kind of stuff, again, we've already established I love utopia, dystopia, and all that kind of stuff. And when War of the Worlds was originally put out, it was as a radio show and actually freaked out a lot of people because they thought the attack was actually happening. But Tom Cruise did the remake, the movie remake, what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I want to say, right. a while ago. And the
pubic
book
hair
is,
wasn't gray. I don't know.
I mean, and the book is brilliant. Obviously, you can't compare War of the Worlds because it's a classic, you know. But he did actually. I'm not a huge Tom Cruise fan, and he did a really good job with the War of the Worlds movie. So,
Edge of Tomorrow.
There it is. Thank you. Yep. You know, thanks Google. All right. What about other books? Since we kind of keep going back to movies, because maybe we're just that type, but.
Speaking of movies ruining a book experience, The Rum Diary by Hunter Thompson was one of my favorite books.
Oh.
And I just knew, because when I read it when I was in college, and I was thinking, I'm in film school. This would be a fun book to turn into a movie.
Uh-huh.
The more I thought about it, the more I thought, that can't happen. It won't work. Johnny Depp proved me right. Because Johnny Depp claims to be a fan of Hunter Thompson. But
well, he's done a couple movies, but...
Yeah, he goes and he rapes his, basically Hunter Thompson's ideas, and now that he's dead, he can't really do anything about it.
Right.
But I didn't want to watch The Rum Diary, the movie, and I did, and I regret never seeing it. It's just terrible.
Man.
So The Rum Diary, fantastic book. Changed my life. But
so, I will admit that I started reading the book back in the day, never finished it, and I have not seen the movie. So based on
Skip
your reference, I will finish the book and fuck off the movie.
Yes. Right. Pretty much most things Johnny Depp does can be skipped.
Oh, I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm bummed a little bit because of the whole, like,
well,
what he's done
June
with, like...
not something you can skip.
Well, there's some things, but we really like what... oh, my God. I can't believe it. Harry Potter. Come on. Help me out. J.K. Rowling.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic Beast.
Yeah.
I honestly enjoy Fantastic Beast more than Harry Potter.
I
can't wait for the
I
next three
it.
Books.
Okay.
But,
part of me is there.
But,
too.
I'm not sci-fi fantasy.
But the problem is Johnny Depp's having
JK
some
Rowling.
Of his issues, and we talked about this in our canceled episode.
I think it's because the animals. And
but
it's just, I don't know.
Johnny Depp
like
is Grindelwald in that. Like,
but that's. I mean, I wouldn't.
Johnny Depp's not in it fully, though.
No, but he's one of the major.
No,
like,
right. I know,
like,
but you don't know until the end
the
of
second
things.
Episode
it's just more the other
movie,
characters
but,
and
yeah
it's
but
so
how are you
going to
follow through with three more books and are
I'll,
you going to cast him or not
I'll amend my statement you can skip fan. Anything that is a Johnny Depp passion project
he
if he's just
in,
making money then
right,
go ahead and
I would
watch him.
Say you'll like this Matt because he's a bit at the very end and then with his
is this a spoiler alert because
no,
I have
no.
not seen them
with his no the Fantastic Beasts or I actually agree with Brendan I think the movies are awesome. But now that he had his weird divorce, whatever stuff, he's been declined to be any future, so he won't even be in the future.
I have a hard time Well, like, I think we discussed that on the canceled podcast, Joe, but I have a hard time blaming him for any of the Amber Heard stuff since she was the one who was.
I actually like Johnny Depp, so I can't bash him. But in those movies, he's not in them very often. He's rarely in it. Like the first movie, you don't even see him really. And the second one, I don't even really think you see him in the second one. Like, but I have to say, the movies are awesome.
Yeah.
I like him better than Harry Potter.
Well, I think the harder part I have is now that the more we learn about J.K. Rowling and her pretty trashy views on her TERF feminism, which is the trans exclusionary radical feminism, I would struggle to read anything new of hers, to be honest. Hmm. I don't want to give her any money beyond what I already have.
I was too old for Harry Potter when it came out, nor did I care about sci-fi fantasy. And I read a few to Aiden as he was a kid and stopped when it got to be too long. I don't think he's much of a fan either. I've never seen any of the movies. Couldn't care less. Don't know anything about her personal life. Couldn't care less.
Well, see, and that's how I was myself. And then I kind of got hooked into the movies and I watched through all the movies. And I swore up and down that once I finished Game of Thrones, I would start Harry Potter. And I went, I don't think I'm ever going to finish Game of Thrones at this point. And so I started Harry Potter. And like it's like I was saying at Frolic, I burned through all 7-8 books within 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's not my style. But you did mention Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Yeah, that one is definitely on my list.
That's an amazing book.
I finished Dracula a little while ago, which is hard to get through. It's 400 pages. It's old English. So it kind of, it doesn't move quite as fast. And so I'm kind of stoked for some of the more classics. Like I read the crap out of Edgar Allan Poe when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking forward to, I've seen, Frankenstein adaptations, including Young Frankenstein, which is hilarious, but that's obviously not going to be.
I like Young Einstein better.
The book.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Jesus. Oh. You just felt.
Party foul.
I drank most of it.
But, I sat down and read, Charles Dickens. Oh, my gosh. The Christmas Carol.
Sorry, dude.
Because I was a lot faster than I thought it, of a read than I thought it would be. Because I've read other Charles Dickens stuff, which is drones on and on, between David Copperfield and
Oliver Twist
and A Tale of Two Cities.
Oliver kind of
drags on, but Christmas Carol was pretty good. And one thing I really loved was that the Muppet Christmas Carol movie sticks way closer to the book than I realized it did, including dialogue taken straight off of the pages. But yeah, I'm definitely excited to get into Frankenstein and actually
read it. It's a good time of year to read it. Halloween time. That's when I read
perfect.
It.
Oh, it's perfect.
That's when I read it years ago. Yeah. Was in October. And I knew nothing going into it, and that blew my mind. It blew my face off, as I would say.
Well, have you watched The Drunk History about her?
No.
I love Drunk History.
Apparently that one came out during an orgy weekend between her and Percy and a couple other people.
Details of that era are sketchy at best.
Give me the video of that orgy, please.
Oh, jeez.
Just watch Drunk History because it's hysterical.
She was 19 when she wrote it.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and it...
Man, the things I was doing at 19 was not writing books.
And what
I wanted to be writing books.
The pop culture version of Frankenstein is nowhere near what she wrote.
Nope.
Blow your face off.
You blow your face off.
Yeah.
All right, let's drink to blow your face off.
Wait, is that Matt's thing now?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Now we have a thing. I'm Bastard Brendan. We'll blow your face off with Matt, Genius Jess, and anything that has to do with upstate.
Or Batavia for Tim.
Right.
It's Know-It-All Jess.
Know-It-All Jess.
Know-It-All Jess. Yes. Okay.
Man.
Oh, shit. Genius Jess, Know-It-All Jess. Okay. All right.
I appreciate the alliteration, but it's just not hurtful enough.
All right. We got to,
Sticks and stones, Matt. Sticks and stones.
Hey, man, there's got to be a stab. There has to be a stab in there.
But the thing is that you have to actually get under my armor in order to make the stab, okay? So you're not...
Don't try us. We'll find a way.
No. Well, if you do, I'm not going to be on the podcast anymore. That's what's going to happen.
That'll be the natural conclusion.
You
of
don't
the
show. Know us that well. okay, so yeah, Matt, books. Anything else like that? I mean, we've kind of, I think we've all kind of tackled a few artists more, or not yeah. artists, but.
I'll read anything Gary Steingart writes. Who? Absurdistan, Gary Steingart. Absurdistan was amazing. That was the first book I read of his. And I recently read Lake Success, which I loved. Super Sad True Love Story is also very good, but a departure from his style. But it
interesting.
Worked.
Okay.
All right. Niall Griffiths. I have his newest book over on that table that I'm about to start when I finish with Hemingway.
Now, damn it, Lamb.
Right.
Which Hemingway?
Of Farewell to Arms.
I've never read a full book of Hemingway.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I can't. I don't know why. I can't. I'd like to. Good. Like, there's a lot of things about Hemingway that I'm intrigued about, but I have not been able to be.
I still want to go to Hemingway Island and meet all the cats.
Yeah, I just, cats, yeah, I mm-hmm. haven't been able to be grasped.
The polydactyl cats, right? Yeah.
I love polydactyly on cats.
I've seen some freaky photographs online. But
what, bestiality? Are we back on this again?
No, polydactyly.
Cats with messed up paws. I'm like, this is not cute. This is an abomination. What was I going to say? Oh, Hemingway is very simple and straightforward writing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we tend to, at least I, when I'm presented with the great artists, the great literature, literary figures like Hemingway and everyone, I tend to assume that they're going to be dense and difficult.
Yeah.
But Hemingway is not. And Hemingway, in his own words, is like, writing is simple and true and honest. And
speak your mind.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like that great Mark Twain quote, "Sorry for the long letter. I didn't have time to write a short one."
Uh-huh.
It is much harder to write succinctly than it is to drabble on. But
back in the day,
Hemingway is very good at writing succinctly.
All right. Well, see, back in the day when I enjoyed writing, I actually preferred to do poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've lost it all. So maybe getting back into reading might be better for me as a writer that used to want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now I'm more of a brewer that wants to be. So, and the books that I'm reading are like beer books. So there's nothing about those books that are, let me go tell you to go read this book.
It's a Although, trade book. Yeah, trade.
One of my all-time favorite industry books. Stuff. And it really has minimal reference because we're talking about novels that can be turned into movies and things like that. But one of my favorite books is called The Dictionary of Thoughts. There was only 600 ever put in print.
Oh, wow.
Basically, it is a collaboration of some of the best minds prior to our time. And it was their thoughts. So you've got bits of Shakespeare in there. You've got bits of poets. You've got bits of writers. There's a lot of other bits and pieces of some of those great minds of past. But they're no more than a paragraph of just general randomized thoughts. And you can look it up in a dictionary style form. So you say A, B, C. You look it down and you can thumb through it. And just, it's not something that you go and read.
Oh, he's so good.
As far as a novel, you just pick it up and you can thumb through it. But to me, that's more my style. Like, there's something about just embracing kind of thoughts.
Yeah.
That some of it's genius, some of it's just way out, could be drunken stupidness. But somehow it still relates to us hundreds, thousands of years later.
Yeah.
And that to me sticks with me. So I feel like, weirdly, even though I don't really read a lot, there's still things of past that are there that I can go back to and read. And maybe the next time you guys are there, I'll show you that book. It's a hardcover, so part of it's kind of falling apart. But I paid like $100 for it. And it took me a long time to find it.
There's a good company in Boulder that's really good about repairing.
Yeah, and if they saw that book and they knew what they were looking at, they would be like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
But
we can't give this back to you. You'll do this again.
Honestly, that book and my Swiss Family Robinson copy, like, I treasure those, honestly, more than I do other things in my house. And it's weird because as a guy who kind of did stop reading about 20 years ago, I treasure those books more than I do some of the newer things. Like, honestly, I would lose a PlayStation over that book.
Hmm.
I fuck it, you know, PlayStation takes a shit, no big deal, I can go get another one. I lose one of those books, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get that again.
Yeah, I have
I don't care about the value. It's I'm not going to get that again.
I have an old school Aesop's Fables. So I hear you on that one. Right. That it's like if that one, like it's still, I haven't unwrapped it from when we moved from Lakewood to Longmont. It's still wrapped in its Bubble Wrap app because I'm too scared to unwrap it and actually page through it.
Yeah, I wish I was a little bit better at taking care of some of that.
I almost forgot I have an update to my collection hobby.
Uh-huh.
The thing I started up again when we started the collection podcast.
Yeah.
You found a dog door.
What a little good girl. All hello. Right. Total sidebar.
I thought it was Tammy coming through there for a second.
Hi, Poppers.
I got Gabriel Garcia Marquez, Innocent Derendira, and Other Stories, U.S. first edition that I picked up
wow,
in Boston at a bookstore. So,
holy
stoked
shit.
To read that one.
And he's a great writer.
God among men.
I've heard a lot of things and never read anything. Like, for real, I've not read anything from him, but
great.
I've heard things.
Read it all.
Like, yeah.
It's all good.
Okay.
I read 100 Years of Solitude first.
Damn, man. I feel like reading now.
My favorite great. Of his was Of Love and Other Demons, which it's much shorter, and it's a really interesting story, but it kind of reminds me of Jack Kerouac's Tristessa in its hopeless junkiness, but it's another book I treasure.
Okay.
Tristessa. So.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Collection update.
Nice.
Nice. All right. Well, shall we start to round this off as we approach our hour mark?
Probably. I was going to say my fifth book is Watership Down. Which is a really interesting book. It's about rabbits, but not.
Rabbits.
Shel Silverstein fucked me up as a kid, man.
Dude, I love Shel Silverstein. Like, I have so many of
his
the
books. Velveteen Rabbit?
But that was not Shel Silverstein.
That wasn't, but that was when you said rabbit and Shel Silverstein came out, but the Velveteen Rabbit was what I was going to.
That one was tough.
That one hurt.
That one, yes. But so Watership Down is another one of those that's like a commentary on society, kind of like Lord of the Flies is.
Hmm.
But instead it's in a rabbit colony. And it's very interesting. It's another one of those that I read when I was younger, and it's really good, but you got to be in the right mindset for that kind of a thing. So, but
how about you two? Anything? Final thoughts? Round it up. Another book you didn't get
reading,
to mention?
Reading or? Is fundamental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and when you were mentioning the part about...
have another.
Hang on. It'll come back to me.
Come on. No dead air. Fine. Let's go.
Smoke alarm's going to go off.
Come on.
So when you're,
and we're not smoking.
Right? No, that's just my brain. but when you were talking about, like, you know, when you were into poetry and how you feel like you've lost some of that with not reading, I can totally, like, I get it. Because I feel like in a lot of times with reading and stuff like that, like, for me, reading is when I get lost in something. That's when I really embrace it, like when I can fully just, like, you know, fall into whatever I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it awakens things that I have not thought of before or
relate to
right.
that you didn't think about in a certain perspective.
Exactly. And I feel like when you see it in a movie format or a TV format, as is most common anymore, it kind of gets force-fed to you. And
it gets
that,
played out.
But you also lose the nuance of how it's written. So, like, in a lot of Charles Dickens novels where there are things like, you know, in The Tale of Two Cities talking about how the old woman saw nothing, but it really meant that she saw everything and knew what was going on. That's the kind of nuance you can't get from a movie, from a TV show, that you kind of lose. You know, that's part of what I like about Game of Thrones is that there are so many pieces to it that you don't necessarily get in the TV show that you get through the reading. And I think that's part of it is that when you stop reading, you stop letting yourself kind of develop a new understanding and embrace things and a new embracing. When you're just watching movies or just watching TV, you're embracing the director's perspective or the writer's perspective.
Anonymous. That's all I keep thinking is anonymous. Have you seen that movie? Best Shakespeare theory ever.
I think we've talked about it.
We have.
Okay.
And the next time I see you, you better have seen it.
Okay.
Because holy fuck. Like, that's all I thought of right there. It was just, okay. Okay, I see it. Yeah, I get it. And I'm relating it to that. But, yeah.
So that's kind of where I stand with books.
All right. Tam, this was your topic. Is there anything that we have not covered that you want to throw out there before we...
Do you miss having periods?
It still happens.
Not that old.
She's not that old, Matt.
I wish I was. This is why he's sitting, just for that.
This is why he's sitting closer to me, because you're not in his range of smacking him.
What the hell?
I just sent myself a reminder.
Nice.
But no, I think it's fun, because I think as a kid, we didn't have movies reflecting books as much. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, I think Stephen King and John Grisham. And I read his as well. They kind of ruin books, or you see the movies and then it's one or the other.
Right.
So it's weird that you like, and I like how Matt likes both versions of
the Trainspotting.
Yes. Stuff, yeah. Because he likes the movie and the book, because it's very rare that you like both. But really, yeah. I just think books are awesome. And it's unfortunate I don't read as much as I did as a kid. But also, we didn't have Netflix and we didn't have like TV back then as much.
Right.
Amazon, we couldn't, Apple.
Well, we couldn't like just, we couldn't just sit there and like,
if you wanted to watch it again, you had to record it.
Right. So we read more, and I think it's almost like, I mean...
It reminds me of the 70s show when they went to record Roots but forgot to put the actual tape in the VCR.
We can't watch it. We're recording it.
But we're right here.
I know.
Anyway.
But I think that today we focus so much on TV and Netflix and different Hulu. I mean, there's so many outlooks of TV.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't read as much as, I mean, look at libraries. I'm sure they're not as good as they used to be.
Well,
it's really kind of sad.
If you have a Kindle or a Nook, most libraries you can actually
books
go to
tape.
It with
Although
your
those
Kindle
are good
and,
for travel.
And Nook and read them. Yeah. If you have a Nook, you can sit in any Barnes & Noble store in the U.S. and you have access to every single book in the store, so long as you're in the store for free.
That's pretty cool. I did not know that, but that's because I don't read like I used
to. Right, that's what I mean. It's really kind of sad. Like, we kind of lose that a little bit.
All right.
Well, maybe that's where we've lost some of the originality. We see so much stuff getting rehashed, redone, and remade now that...
I mean, shit, you watch fucking half hour of the news and you're seeing the same story five times before you see the weather. It's like, okay, just fucking repeat it.
We're so friggin' starved for new ideas that fan fiction... created 50 Shades of Grey and was devoured.
What a piece of shit that is.
Right.
I haven't seen it or
it's
read
not
it.
Worth it.
Yeah, no, the BDSM community doesn't even like it. So, yeah.
And that's saying something.
Because it's an abusive story, not a consensual story.
Right, when you take an actual like look back and step back and look at what that is, it's not anything cool.
Mm-mm.
But it turned into something cool, and it's like, oh, yeah, well, anyway. That's a whole different spin on shit. So,
but also, is anybody else not surprised at all at Matt's interest in like absurdism, abstract when it comes to authors? Because I not at all.
He shrugs. I was like, what?
I like what I like.
Yeah. I mean, it fits like
right?
What I know about you. It just makes sense that those are the ones you would go for.
Hey, fuck it. I appreciate it, man. Because
Matt's
a hell of a character, and I don't know what I would do. Life would be boring without him.
Right? Well, and I've never read any of the books you've mentioned. I've never read any Hunter S. Thompson. I've never read Jack Kerouac. Any Jack.
Jacques Kerouac.
I'm so used
no,
to thinking of Jacques.
No, the Trainspotting dude I haven't read.
He's got a bad
I haven't.
Anyway. Yeah.
So
are we ready to spin for new topic?
Oh, yeah. That's
spin.
My
favorite. Oh, shoot. Topics.
Yeah, yeah. Although we kind of had a topic on cue.
Oh, dibs if I get spun on.
Right.
I almost forgot which page I had the spinner on.
New phone. Who dis? What dis?
Oh, it's on me.
And okay, she's afraid then to come this way.
And you sat there and said it never lands on you.
No, it never does.
Truth or dare, Matt? No.
Truth.
Oh, hang on. Okay. That means I have to look up questions. Hang on.
Hey, dog.
Which dog?
My
the one
dog.
Chewing on the cord.
Yeah. The one that like keeps us alive. All right. Anyway.
Let me check. I have a note thing where I keep track of
what you were thinking. Ideas. Yeah. I like that.
All right. Truth or dare, Matt? It is. Truth was, who would you hate to see naked?
Me.
Present company excluded.
Clearly.
Because
that's not a conversation.
Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh. Okay, fair.
I was going to say Martha Stewart.
Brenda, yeah, but she probably looks before better than Giuliani.
I'm probably sure. True. What? Brenda, what?
What was our idea before?
Oh, the six degrees.
Yeah, let's do that. That sounds
all
fun.
Right. 6 degrees from celebrity. This game is going to change. Stay tuned. It's not what you think.
One beer in and you're still monastic. One beer more and you feel fantastic. 3 beers in, now you sound bombastic. One more and we're rowdy.
Way, hey, the vomit rises. Way, hey, the vomit rises. Way, hey, the vomit rises. We'll get this in the morning.
One beer in and you're in your shyness. 2 beers in and you break your silence. 3 beers in and you're prone to violence. While we're getting surly.
Yeah! Hey, hey, the vomit rises.
Best one yet.